Good morning, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is Turning Towards Life. We are so glad to be here, as usual, and glad that you're here too, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. And I think we maybe say this quite a lot on repeat, Justin, but the whole time I'm meeting new people who listen to Turning Towards Life, and it's such a joy to know that we're forwardable and people can send things to other people when stuff is happening in their lives that they need some support with or need to feel connected in some way. And it's such a joy that there are new people all the time coming our way. So I'm feeling particularly grateful for that this week, and that in times of difficulty, in times of opening, in times of trickiness in our lives, there are things like this and many, many other things that can really help us. I'm feeling particularly grateful for that this morning, and grateful for you, Justin, bringing this extraordinarily excellent and appropriate for my life. And life in general feels like this is such a beautiful way of relating to when things are hard. So thank you.
You're so welcome, Lizzie. Well, hello, everybody. I'm also very, very glad to be here. And I was saying to you, Lizzie, before that I brought this source because a very dear friend sent this to me because she knew I needed it. And very often when I need something, I think maybe other people might benefit from it too. And so here it is. Before we dive in, I want to say to everyone also, thank you for being with us. For all of you who've journeyed with us all these years, and for all of you who are joining us now. And just to remind you that you can find us in all kinds of places. You can ask your podcast apps to play Turning Towards Life, and you can find us on Instagram and obviously live in our Facebook group, which everyone's welcome to join. And you can sign up for our weekly email, which people are doing. So just go to turningtowards.life, where you'll find all of these conversations archived and all the sources with them. Just there waiting for you, and you can search for them and all of that kind of stuff. And there you can sign up for our weekly email, which where you get this in your inbox. And now new, you can support us there too. If you feel like you've benefited, maybe just in general, or maybe there's been a particular conversation that's particularly touched you, you can click on the support us button there, and you can buy us a coffee, which is always very lovely. And I suppose Lizzie helps us, supports us in this grand endeavor of making these hundreds of conversations and keeping them free and available to people. So we would so welcome your support, and also your, as you were saying about affordability, Lizzie, telling people who you love and care about or you feel might benefit from being part of these conversations. So as always, we're going to begin in the way that we always do, which is that we have a source to read, and then our conversation will flow from there. And this source, which you'll find in all of the places I just said, it's called Thursday, and it's by Elaine Beckett. So thank you, Elaine, for this these wonderful words. When the dusk comes in as quiet as this, as low as this, as dense as this, like your whole world has gone back to where it began, and you wonder how you got into this mess, the kind of mess you cannot see an end to, as if it may already have ended very badly, and all you can hear is the sound of your own name spoken deep inside your own head. It is probably best to step back from whatever kind of brink you imagine you have reached and think about something else, something small and practical, like boiling an egg.
So this is Thursday by Elaine Beckett. When the dusk comes in as quiet as this, as low as this, as dense as this, like your whole world has gone back to where it began, and you wonder how you got into this mess. The kind of mess you cannot see an end to, as if it may already have ended very badly. And all you can hear is the sound of your own name spoken deep inside your own head. It is probably best to step back from whatever kind of brink you imagine you've reached and think about something else. Something small and practical, like boiling an egg.
I have, Lizzie, been feeling this way that Elaine Beckett describes, deep in a kind of mess that you cannot see the end to, that's already ended very badly, quite frequently in the last few weeks. And I think one of the reasons this poem was one of these kinds of, you know, when you read something or someone says something and it's an immediate kind of relief, like it shows you an alternative, which is, it's a relief because the alternative, that's a good alternative, by the way. I mean, there are lots of bad alternatives to the messes we get ourselves in and the patterns we get ourselves in, but that's a good one, a life-giving one, a true one, is so close that it's almost like you and I both wearing glasses today, like it's like the glasses on our nose that you can't see, or something just to one side of your face. And you read it and it brings relief very, very quickly. That's what these words from Elaine Beckett have felt like, which is very lovely. And I've been noticing this, the relationship between the messes of the world, the deep and painful and seemingly intractable things that happen both far away from us and close into us. So I'm including the world at large and everything that's in it that we, you know, we come into contact often with things in the far away world that, of course, are only part of a much bigger story, however intense and however worrying and however whatever they are. There's a selection of what we get to see from the wider world, because none of us are ever in contact with the whole of the wider world. So we've got things coming at us that are this way, and then we might have things right in close, our own living circumstances, our relationships, our own health, the mess on my desk, my finances, the part of the house that's got mold and the walls, and then the biggest, so all, you know, of all the scales. And so what I was saying was, there's all of that. And then there's also the way that we experience it on the inside. And you said something really, really brilliant and beautiful last time we were together that I want to carry over into this conversation, where you said something like, well, the only place we experience all of it is on the inside. We never experience any of the outside things actually on the outside. We experience them where we are. And to see that there are many legitimate, truthful choices about how to experience what we experience on the inside, and how to relate to the truthful something that we are experiencing on the inside, is such a gift. Because I know that's my kind of forgetfulness, is the one that will, inside me, is the one that will say there is only one way to experience this thing. And of course, when there's any one way to experience what's inside, if I'm only experiencing panic, or I'm only experiencing sadness, or I'm only experiencing confusion, the tempting thing is to get caught up in only that, as if it were the only thing, or to try and replace it with some other only thing, which is as equally unhelpful. I won't feel sad, I'll feel happy. And the way I relate to this poem is that to turn my attention to something small and practical like boiling an egg brings my whole attention. What's so kind about this is it allows my sadness and my confusion and my anxiety and my all of that to live alongside care and love and diligence and attentiveness, all of which actually boiling an egg, which is why it's, I'm so glad that Elaine Beckett says boiling an egg and not, she could have said lots of other things. That's what boiling an egg takes. We have to notice and pay attention and get it something in our hands and watch it and love it, basically, in order for a boiled egg to turn out right. And what a gift it is to be reminded that in the midst of all of the bigness of everything right here and right now and right in front of me is a chance to bring some really beautiful, loving, dignified, life-filled human qualities that don't negate any of the other stuff. And they make it go away and they don't deny it or denigrate or something. But it's true as well that boiling an egg really matters. Whether it's just for me or if it's for you or for someone else, it really matters. And that's always available to us to remember right in the midst of almost anything that we're in the midst of.
Mm. That's really beautiful to hear the distinctions around boiling an egg that you're making. And somehow for me, it's such a familiar feeling to feel completely overwhelmed by what I'm experiencing, that whether it's out there or in here, something's been triggered, some massive, what feels like and experientially is like a massive breakdown has occurred, like some kind of breaking of my normal way of being in the world, my habitual ways, something smashed through and waking me up to things. It's so easy and common in my life to feel like it's too big, like everything's too big. I feel powerless, or there's nothing to be done. It's too hard. I want to go home now, please. I've had enough. You know, not this. Like, I can't handle this thing. This is too big. This is too much. And so use the word kindness, how kind it is that there is permission in this invitation from Elaine Beckett to turn towards something that isn't too big for me, but that is still, as you say, has grand importance, and it really matters to be in the ordinariness of our lives. And there's a kind of necessary soothing in it, you know, when we're on fire, when we're like traumatized, when we're so open and raw and something's happened that feels like it's blown open some inner gates or something, and it's panic inducing and anxiety making and awful, to have a way of, I don't think it's a common permission that gets given, but this poem is giving us permission to say, turning to the ordinary things, turning to what is your equivalent of boiling an egg, which might be going for a walk, picking some flowers, digging the garden, walking the dog, putting our faces to the sun for 2 minutes and breathing. Whatever that thing is a legitimate response to feeling the magnitude of our experience. And in a way, gives us some respite so that we can come back again to whatever the thing is that needs attending to, that's much, much bigger than us, that we feel responsible to, or it really matters in our lives. But right now, it's really too much for our systems, for our bodies, for our hearts, that we can dance between ordinariness and the big things. It feels so important. And I think it feels like a profound act of self-care, like really allowing myself to be in an ordinary moment and letting that be a legitimate response and cultivating that list of responses that I could bring to bear in the times of the blown open gates on the inside thing. If I can legitimize that in myself, and have it as a resource, a way to resource myself, I can just feel myself breathing more easily and feeling grateful and letting that be allowed. Because I know I have a voice that's like, no, 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 you have to keep facing in, you have to keep doing something because this shouldn't be happening. But most of the time, it doesn't have to be done right now. Most of the time, we have time to resource ourselves, to find the boiling, the eggness, and to make contact with it and resource ourselves and make contact and bring ourselves back again, if needed, to the thing that's of greatest magnitude in our lives at any moment.
I really appreciate what you're saying about that. A sense inside us that we can have that somehow we ought to stay on alert or on fire inside because of what's on fire on the outside, whatever scale. And that one of the things that making a cup of tea, that's the one that's on my mind. I've been thinking about boiling an egg or making up a tea or going for a walk or looking at the sky, all the things you were beginning to talk about, Lizzie. That one of the things that it does, I can hear in what you're saying that there are a couple of important parts of this that you're pointing to. One is that there's a way that sometimes what these things do is that they regulate our own inner urgency, like all the parts of us that have got caught up in, I have to do something about this now. And how often they may be things that we can do something about, but we may be activated about things we actually can't do anything about. And yet that's still the thing that's going on inside us. And like you said, there are times when we can do something else. There are times we can't. There are times of emergency when boiling an egg or making up a tea obviously wouldn't be appropriate, but it's actually amazing how often that sense of alarm that we have inside us at ourselves, at the world immediately around us, at the further away world, has us in this heightened state of reactiveness and responsiveness. And that doing the thing that you talked about, one part of it might be that it sort of regulates that. It gives all of that a chance to calm down, and it gets us back in contact with something other than the panic or even actually something other than the sense of I'm responsible here for the something that's happening. And I was thinking about cups of tea, actually, as I let on. I was going to say that maybe because I, like you, have grown up in the country that we have grown up in, tea is a big thing, at least it is in my life. But then I was tracing back to my ancestors who came from Russia and Poland and all that. They all made tea as well. And I think of times I've been to other cultures and everyone's making tea of some kind. And I think it's a bit like boiling the egg, which is that right when we could be diving into action, we could be diving into all the different versions of this, Lizzie, like when I see you and I want something from you, I feel like I have to get you to agree with me or disagree with me or do something, whatever. That the function of making you tea or you making me tea and then us sitting and drinking our tea before we begin whatever it is we were going to begin, I think it's the same. It's related to what Elaine Beckett's talking about, which is it the simple act of attending with care to something that's right in front of me, and then when I'm with you, that is between us, is this act of coming, of stepping back from whatever brink we imagine, which might turn me into some kind of desperate action machine and you into some kind of desperate action machine. And we have a chance to meet our own and one another's humanity and our own depth and our own wideness, just because we paused for a moment to attend to something so practical and so physical. And so it's making me think, I came into this poem from feeling from feeling in a sense of sort of extended alarm and grief and all kinds of things that I'm carrying around with me at the moment. But I also recognize in talking to you about it that it's actually also about, it's about this, you know, when we're on a brink, as Elaine Beckett says, but it's actually in a way we're sort of on a brink of something all the time. We're on the brink of taking life to be one particular thing all the time if we don't watch out for it. And so when we meet one another, we could also step back from that brink, make a cup of tea or boil an egg or, you know, whatever the equivalent is, and see ourselves and see one another in a new way before we begin to say or hear whatever it is we're going to say or hear. And that itself, the small practicality, would make and could make what happens between us incredibly different to the thing that might have happened had we rushed in already in the mess, already only seeing, you know, if it's a mess that we're sorting out, and very often there are messes to sort out in the world. When I think I've said this a few times before in our hundreds of conversations, I remember so clearly early on having my first job and one morning sitting and choosing to read something that was actually very relevant to what I was doing, and somebody, a manager, coming along and telling me I really needed to get into action, you know, like criticizing me for taking a few minutes to read and prepare. And I remember that now because I think partly what Elaine Beckett is inviting us into is to notice how much urgency there is in us and how much is calling for this other move that gets us in contact with ourselves and one another in the world in a way, way, way deeper and a sort of a way more straightforward way.
Yeah, what's coming up for me, Justin, is that we are all entitled to take things at the pace that our own bodies and hearts and minds feel, what's the word, able to. You know, I think you use the word urgency. I know I experience in myself a kind of, I've got to get over this, or I've got to deal with this, or I've got to do something. And it's really pervasive, like it's really strong. And so this kind of permission to give ourselves the time that we need at the kind of pace that we need, that not everything has to keep coming out or keep being talked about or keep being processed or keep being faced into or keep being, you know, I'm thinking of my relationship to watching the news, for example. Like, I don't have to keep watching the news to feel like I'm not a terrible person. You know, it's like I'm allowed to go, this is too much right now. I'm going to take a breath and not do this for a couple of days and maybe return, maybe not return, maybe return in a different way. But to try and it's not only about the news and what's happening in the world at the moment, but if something gets kind of triggered in me or born in me that I wasn't expecting or that feels painful, emotionally painful, or even physically, I also have some choice about how I engage with whatever that is. And I really believe that we can kind of trust that whatever magnitude entered in the first place is enough to keep us informed of what's happening for a really good while. And we don't need, and we can unpack it in whatever speed and way that feels safe and right for us. That there's not a, we don't need to succumb to the kind of inner demand to keep responding and to keep this going and to keep it up and to keep dealing with stuff. That we're so within our right to say, I need to take it slow, or just one thing at a time, or I'm just going to put this down for a while and do the boiling an egg thing. So there's a kind of, you know, when you talked about somebody being cross with you for reading something. It's such a, I think it's such an important thing to accept that each of us will have different ways of responding to everything that's happening on the inside of us. And that we can take the route that feels like the route that wants to be taken. And we can trust ourselves with that. And I think it's especially important when things come up and these big things get blown open, that we don't feel like we have to stay in the intensity of these things all the time to do them justice. That there's, like you said earlier, there's things you're carrying around with you, and you can carry something around with you without being completely interlocked with it. We can put things to one side and we can say, I'm going to come back. Of course I am, because you've revealed yourself to me already. I can't unsee that. I can't unfeel that. I can't unexperience that. But I do have some choice as to whether I boil an egg or go for a walk or come back to you later. I don't have to do it all now.
I'm really appreciating this sense, Lizzie, in the way that you're talking about that. It might feel, you and I have spoken about this lots of times, I think, at least in me, for a combination of lots and lots of different things, order I was born in, my family, kind of family I was born into, cultural surround, all of that kind of stuff. The sense of it having to be responsible, it's very strong in me, being responsible for things, and it being responsible for the intensity of life and the intensity of the world can mean, exactly as you're saying, a sort of sense that I ought to match the intensity of the outside with an intensity on the inside. And it's such a, I think it's so important what you just said, which is that it turns out we can carry the things we take into ourselves. We'll work on the inside of ourselves without us having to feed them or fuel them all the time. And so in a world which keeps on demanding, particularly with the news cycles, which keeps on demanding that we scroll news feeds or social media feeds or whatever, sort of to feed the sense of desperation, or it could just be a sort of deep interest, or that we don't have to do that. And I actually particularly appreciate at this moment why boiling an egg is so unlike many of the activities that so many of us get drawn into, because it takes us away from, you cannot feed the inner maelstrom by boiling an egg. It feeds something different in us.
Mm.
And we have to feed other things in us other than the whatever our own habitual thing, the way that we feed parts of us inside us. It's so helpful to find other ways to feed ourselves. And of course, eggs are food. One use of eggs is food. So I'm really, as we come towards the end of this, feeling very grateful for the way that we're talking about the choices we have about what in us we attend to. And that's really the kind of choice here. What in me and what between us am I going to feed in this moment? And how might very, very ordinary practices, straightforward acts of care and presence and contact and touch and creation as well. So think about boiling an egg as a creative process. I know that for me, this having these conversations is one of those, is that we sit together and we find for half an hour a way into together supporting one another and attending to maybe to a different place, a different way, a different something in us that's got some dignity and aliveness and depth in it that might be different from what we were just coming in from the kerfuffle of our lives and what we might go into next. And for how many of, I'm now speaking to our wider circle here, for how many of those of you who are with us, listening with us, that's exactly also what's happening for you, is that this, as it is for us, it's a practice that brings us back into contact with our lives. So I can see that it's time for us to end, Lizzie. So I'm wanting to express my gratitude to you and to this practice, and to Elaine Beckett and to Debbie, who sent us the poem, and then also all the hundreds of people who are in circles of boiling an egg, basically boiling an egg together on a Sunday morning, or whenever it is that you all listen, how grateful I am and how grateful I know we are.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, everyone. We are going to end here, and all being well, we will be back same time, same place next week.